spiritual gift of serving or service. Romans chapter number 12. You know, during the recent COVID pandemic, frontline workers were heralded as heroes. Sometimes they were even put up on billboards, or at least images like the one on the screen. And they went to work so the rest of us could stay safe and healthy at home. I'm talking about first responders, medical personnel, pharmacists, grocery store workers who manned their posts so the rest of us could make it. You know, and they were heroes, not because of the titles they wore, but because of the service they rendered at a critical point. Now, here's the point I have for you today. Those who serve have always been heroes in God's book. Yes, we tend to overlook the servants as not being all that important. But in Paul's list of important servants in the church or spiritual gifts in Romans chapter 12, you know what we find right after the gift of prophecy, which we looked at a couple of weeks ago? We find next the spiritual gift of serving. Let's pick up our text, reading the spiritual gifts, verse 6, Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. This is where we are today, ministry. You read the word ministry, and most of you are thinking full-time vocational ministry. You're thinking about what I do or what the clergy does or at some other church, but that's not the meaning of the word. The word here is just the simple, common New Testament word for somebody who serves other people. It could be in a ministerial full-time function like clergy, but it doesn't have to be. So serving other people in the body of Christ is a spiritual gift. Some, this text is saying, are unusually empowered to serve other people. I want to look at this in three different ways. No surprise there. Number one, lots of variety in serving. When I read a text like this, or if your gift is serving or ministering, then get on. Let's be about serving. I just think that opens the door right now for a lot of different ways to apply it. The word ministry, in fact, that's used in this verse is used in a variety of ways in the New Testament. I just want to show you some of the range of service opportunities or functions that this word covers. Here's the first one. Comes from a familiar passage in Luke chapter 10 talking about Mary and Martha. And remember, Mary was at the feet of Jesus. And what was Martha doing? Verse 40, Martha was cumbered, burdened down by much serving. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care? My sister had left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Notice the word serve. It's the same word ministry in our text in Romans chapter 12. And it's referring to the fact that she's preparing a meal to get ready to serve Jesus and the rest of the house guests. So we see that. And it's interesting as well to me that in this same verse, the word serving is put alongside the word help. She's cumbered about much serving. Tell her that she needs to serve because I'm serving alone. Tell her, therefore, to help me. You see the connection between serve and help? That's important because there's another text coming up on the screen that's a companion to Romans chapter 12 that deals with spiritual gifts. And in that list, we read the gift of helps. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Many people believe that the gift of serving and the gift of helps in 1 Corinthians 12 are talking about the same gift, the same ministry skill. A person who helps is the person who serves. And that may, in fact, be the case. All right? So serving includes preparing a meal. Here's another thing that you wouldn't think of. It also involves preparing an offering. And we find this in Romans chapter 15. Another cross-reference, if you want one, would be 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. Both mention the fact that Paul
was collecting a service which he had for Jerusalem that it might be accepted of the saints. What service was Paul collecting for the saints down in Jerusalem? You might remember on his third missionary journey, he went to his Gentile churches and said, "Your brethren from the mother church down there in Jerusalem are suffering persecution. Some of them are not eating well. We need to collect an offering and show our support for them." So they prepared an offering, and it was considered a service to Christian brethren in another town. Same word, just want you to see the range. There's a lot of variety in the way a person might serve another brother or sister in Christ. Here's another example, preaching the gospel. This is in Acts chapter 20, talking. This is Paul talking with the Ephesian elders in Miletus. He says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." And the, what's the word there? Ministry. It's the same word that we've been encountering. Minister, service, same word. "Which I have received of the Lord." What's the ministry? To testify the gospel of the grace of God. So it does involve preaching the gospel, which was what Paul was doing. And he's ministering to the churches where he preached the gospel. Do you see the range? It can refer to cooking a meal. It can refer to preparing an offering or preparing a sermon to preach. These are all ministries. Covers a great variety. Probably the clearest way to me that we can see this is to go to Acts chapter 6, where we read about the first deacons. The word deacon actually comes from the Greek word, it's diakonia, and that's where the word service or minister is just the transliteration or taking the Greek letters and putting them into English. A deacon is a person who serves. But it's interesting to me, in this passage where we're first introduced to deacons, we read in verse number 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily," what's the last word? Ministration. We don't use that word, but it's the same word, diakonia. They're being neglected in the service. The church was providing a service, helping the widows who didn't have means of support, and they were giving food. But the Hebrew widows were better off than the Greek ones. The Grecian influenced, Hellenistic. They were influenced and spoke Greek and weren't so Jewish. So they were being neglected. So the apostles were like, you know, we can't stop doing what we're doing so we can put food on the table for the widows. You guys need to get out in the church and find somebody else to do this. And so this is the beginning of the deacon ministry. Now, interestingly, just a few verses later, the apostles tell us what they're going to do. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. This word ministry is the same word ministration. Why is this important? In verse number 1, ministration is talking about physical food on a table for a widow who needs to eat. Verse number 4 talks about spiritual food from the Bible that people need for their spiritual growth. Both refer to ministry or service. Do you see it? Wide range of ministries or service within the church. And so I can't really label all the different ways that God might impress upon you or use you to serve the church, but He does empower His people to minister to their brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. Did you see that? I didn't make this up. That's what the Bible is saying, right? You see this in the Scripture. So here's the apostles telling us that the word ministry refers to both spiritual and to physical food. So that means whether I'm talking about the preacher who stands on the pulpit, the teacher who's out in the classroom like we have teachers out there right now, the cook who stands over the pot and stirs the stew or preps the casserole, or maybe berry pie because it's for the pastor. Or relief for the poor, we're talking about the same thing, serving God by serving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Broad range of service. You know, I think, though, this really does something and should, in your mind, elevate the spiritual gift of serving. The service that's rendered here, it comes right after, in Paul's list in Romans 12, it's first prophecy, preaching. We'll give primacy to preaching in the church, right? But the next thing he says is service. In the list I just showed you in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he put it way down in the verse. It's much later. First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then miracle. But here he puts it second. He's elevating the importance of serving in the church. And he's saying, you know, whatever your service is, whether it's on stage or off stage, and often service is like that, it's behind closed doors. It's the kind of work nobody else gets to see. And these works are just as important as the main work of preaching. I think that's Paul's making the case. There's a lot of variety, but it's no less important what you do. To say it a different way, there is no small job if you're doing your job for God, empowered by His Spirit. Perhaps you've never felt like what you do for God is all that important. Well, I just do so-and-so, or, you know, X, Y, or Z. But maybe you made a meal for a widow or a person who was bereaved. Maybe you helped clean or make repairs at God's house. Maybe you just filled a baby bottle for New Life Pregnancy Center. But remember, that was part of service, preparing an offering for needy saints somewhere else. That's service. Or you sat with an infant in the nursery so her mom could sit in the service. Or you prepared a lesson to teach a row of rowdy juniors who didn't want to hear the lesson anyway. Can you see? There's almost no limit to how God might use you by His Spirit to be a blessing to your church. It's all important to the kingdom of God then. And there's no way the leadership in this church, and I'm thankful for the leaders we have here, the people who are serving behind the scenes regularly, meeting and discussing church business and helping run things so that we don't all have to sit around and figure out how it's going to get done. I appreciate all those. But we can't do all the heavy lifting. I mean, it takes a whole team to lift together, right? And, you know, honestly, apart from the setup crews, I'll tell you, it's the women who do most of the heavy lifting around here. I mean, we couldn't get it done if it weren't for the nursery workers and the children's church workers. And a lot of our greeters are ladies, and a lot of our, you know, hospitality people are ladies. These are the heavy lifters, and there are no non-important jobs. So let's get back to the main point, right? We're talking about the spiritual gift of serving. We're all called to serve, but some people have a capacity from the Holy Spirit to minister in ways that's beyond us. Remember that passage that Josh Sibley just read earlier in the service? But whoever is chief among you, let him be servant of all, right? So we're all called by the Lord to be servants, but there are some people that are unusually gifted this way. I've met some of these dear folks. We have some of these folks in our church. Let me tell you about one who's not here, so I don't call anybody out particularly in this ministry. One Sunday, I walked into a church and found an 80-something, probably in his 88 or 89, he's up on a ladder in the church lobby trying to change a light bulb. At his age, he was the last one I needed to see on a ladder. But Mr. Hatfield thought nothing of it. Hardwired to serve by the Holy Spirit. It was his gift. It needed to be done. I know where the light bulbs are. I'll get it changed out before people arrive for the service. I think there are people just like that in this church who see a job, and before the next Sunday rolls around, they're already on it. They've already figured it out. They haven't called the pastor, you know, somebody, you know, the air conditioning is not working, you know, and I know you don't have anything else to do the rest of the week, so would you figure that out? No, the servant is the person who says, Pastor, I just want you to know I got a hold of the person over at the district. We already talked about it. We said, and they're going to have it fixed by this coming Sunday. That's the servant, right? The servant says, oh, I saw something. I noticed it. The Holy Spirit showed it to me. That means he wants me to do it. And what a blessing those kind of folk are to the church. Lots of variety in the way you might serve. Number two, lots of opportunity in serving. He says in the text, Romans chapter 12, if ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or another way to say it, and if you'll notice, your King James Bible is going to have a lot of words italicized because there really are only two words in the original. Ministry, be ministry. That's really the idea here. Just get to it. How do I put it in my notes here? You should get after serving. Well, how do I get after? Well, frankly, it's an opportunity for every one of us in this room to get after serving. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, for brethren, you've been called, among other things, by love to serve one another. Now, what might you be able to do to serve your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, maybe you count the money. Thankful that somebody counts the money, because somebody has to keep everybody else accountable that the money came in and the money got deposited and the receipts went out. Thank you. You may print the bulletin. Boy, if we didn't have bulletins printed, people wouldn't know what to do or where to sit, maybe, even on Sunday morning. You may be the one who plans the next church activity so we can get together and have fellowship and enjoy some time together. But somebody has to think through that. Where are we going to have it? Who's going to buy the food? Who's going to clean it up? And so somebody has to think through all that. That's a ministry. You may be the one who fixes a broken cart. We have a lot of carts that we push around in this building. You may be the one who sets up for the next church event, or the one who packs it all away while everybody else rushes home with full tummies. It's a ministry that you do. An opportunity for everyone. Almost no limit to the ways we might serve. And I guess what I'm trying to get across to, even though that some people are specially gifted to serve, there ought to be no non-servants in the church. Everybody ought to be doing something for the blessing and the benefit of your brothers and sisters in the church. Which leads me to another thought I'd like to share here, and that is, it's an opportunity in or within the church. The more I studied service this week and looked at the range of meanings in the New Testament, the way this word appears, it seems as if Paul is driving home here, especially in Romans chapter 12, which is instructions for the church at Rome, how to perform. He's talking about ministry or serving in the church. Let me show you another example of this in another text, Galatians 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto those that are of the household of the faith. This really, you can serve many places. I know some of you volunteer in the community, and some of you are looking for ways to make Christ known, and that's great. We ought to serve out. But I think Paul's really after, do your ministry. If your spiritual gift is ministry, do your ministering in the church around God's people. Boy, is there a lot to do in a church. When it comes to this gift, I really believe Paul has at the forefront of his mind your responsibility to serve your brothers and sisters in this church, or it might be a sister church, but you're blessing the household of the faith through your gift. Honestly, serving in the church, and I might sound like I'm buttering my own bread right here, but it is always a trouble. It doesn't matter whether you're in a small church or a large church. My wife and I visited some years ago. We were on vacation, and we didn't want to show up here. We were in town, but we were on a break, so we went across town, went somewhere else. And this was a larger church, larger Baptist church in Tucson. And that particular Sunday, they had a need for nursery workers. And during the announcements, the pastor called out the nursery coordinator, had her stand, please go see this lady. We need more workers. And I thought, man, hallelujah, I'm not the only one with this problem, right, of getting enough volunteers to run everything. This is true in any ministry. There is great opportunity for you to serve in the church. And some of you are thinking, well, you know, if he just come and put his hand on my shoulder and tell me what to do, I'd do it. And I get that, but you have a lot of shoulders and I only have two. So if you just come and put your hand on one of my shoulders, I can point you, most of you, in the right direction. There are so many opportunities. I think about just one church service like this. And you think, well, you know, what's it take? You know, two or three people to plan. You need a pianist, you need a sound person and a preacher. Yeah, that's about all you need. I want to tell you, there are a lot of somebodies or someones to just get one single service to go relatively smooth. Let me share with you some of my insights in this direction. We need someone to set up the chairs and the pulpit and the hymnals before the service starts, someone to open the doors and turn on the lights, someone to prepare the printed programs, someone to teach the classes, someone to help the teachers in those classes, someone to make the coffee and bring the treats, someone to watch the back doors, someone to run the soundboard, and someone to make up the slideshow that meshes with the service so we can see what's going on, someone to prepare the music, someone to preach the sermon, someone to record the sermon, someone to load it up onto YouTube later for the people who didn't get it. I think I'm up to about 13, and I'm out of things on my list, but you get the idea. There are a lot of things just for a single service to make it all happen. It's a lot of serving. And so I really want to encourage folk. I know some of you, you have volunteer things you do in the community, and you know, you work for this agency, or Humane Society, Veterans Associations, and various things. These are all noble causes. I don't have a problem with any of that. But when it comes to serving, what Paul's talking about here really wants you to zero in on your opportunities within the church to minister to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not to the exclusion of other things. Just don't overlook the responsibility in the church. What if every member came here looking for a way to serve on Sunday morning? Not just get in, get the message, then, you know, I need some juice for the week, and then rush out the back door. But you came, and you came early enough to set up the chairs, or you came early enough to make the coffee, or you stayed later and you chatted with somebody who was down and discouraged, and you prayed with them before they left the room, and you just came with an attitude, I'm here, God has me here, I'm going to serve somewhere in the church before I leave. You know, I'm pretty passionate about this, obviously, because I'm a pastor, but I really just think it's the health. Even if I weren't the pastor, it's really the health of the whole body. It's the health of this church. Whether the I was here or somebody else, it doesn't really matter. If you want to have a healthy church, you have to be a church that's really ministering one to the other all the time, and you're thinking, I'm there to serve, not just to be served. Some of you have a program in your hand, right? All right, let's open it up to the back panel, right above the lines that say notes. So about halfway down the page, you're going to read the leadership team in the church, right? You're going to see pastor's name, Pastor Mike Gradwell. You see that? All right. And you see some other names there, Bill Daugherty and Jim Mauser and Doug Childress and Brother Sturtzbaugh's names there, and Josh Sibley. You see all those names? What comes after that? Notes? Okay. I must have ran out of space. And I didn't check this, all right? We also need to add something else to the leadership team. We need to put this on our program. Every member a minister. Every member a minister. Everybody is ministering or serving and expected to do so at this church. All right. We good with that? Everybody has an opportunity, should see their opportunity in the church here to serve. Number three, lots of respect for serving. Let's add lots of respect for serving. Again, Paul puts this right after prophecy, so he elevates it by putting it in a position that just right alongside the preachers, we also have to have servants. They're just as important as the preachers. Servants are just as important as the preachers. Finally, got an amen. All right. I think there's a reason for that. It doesn't resonate quite right with us, right? Because we don't think servants are all that important. Like anybody could do the coffee. Well, not if you don't know how to make coffee. You're the last person I want making the coffee. All right? Not everybody can do that. Well, you know, anybody can watch the back doors. Yeah, but somebody has to watch the back doors, right? So you just can't expect that someone else is going to do it. You know, as of August this year, I will have been in full-time ministry for 25 years. I know I don't look that old, but it's true. It's really 25 years I've been doing this. And I have tried to be a servant along the way, to really help people and just do the jobs that nobody else was willing to do. But there, even in me at times, there's been, I don't like being treated like, I don't mind serving, I don't like being treated like a servant. You know what I mean? You ever done that?
Well, Pastor might want me to do this, but I don't really want to do this. I'm just doing it because he asked me to do it.
I think there's something inside of us that revolts to serving, because most of us in our mind, our old sin nature is we measure our importance by how many people serve us, not by how many people we get to serve. So Paul says to us, if your gift is ministry, go on serving. Just go on serving and not looking for people to serve you. And that really takes the spirit of Christ. But if you're able to do that, we ought to have a lot of respect for servants. And if you're a servant, if ministry is your gift, just get about ministering to people. Don't worry that you're not the teacher or the preacher or the administrator or some other list item in this list. Just be happy that you serve. If that's your gift, do it. So don't try to be something different. Just do what you were designed to do with a willing heart. Could you just do that? Whatever you're designed to do, just do it. Maybe this will help. My family and I were recently on a road trip, and we listened to Tony Dungy's autobiography entitled Quiet Strength. And for me, it was fascinating because he was part of NFL, and during the years I'm very familiar with, so all the names he chattered out in the book, I pretty much knew their names, and I enjoyed it. Tony Dungy is known for rebuilding the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And when he was let go, he was fired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was picked up by the Indianapolis Colts and led the Indianapolis Colts to the Super Bowl at the end of the 2006 season. It was Super Bowl 41. He's well accomplished. He also, in the late 70s, it was 78 or 79, he won a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So he won a Super Bowl as a player and also as a coach. And he coached, I think, with only one or two exceptions, all the years he coached, he got his teams to the playoffs except once or twice. Very successful coach. And some of you know his face because he's now on NBC Sports as a sports broadcaster during the NFL season. All right? So here's what I want to get after. When he went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he was really trying to turn a franchise around that was at the bottom level and bring them up. And he did. But when he would get to the playoffs with the Buccaneers, he'd just tell his team and his staff, we're just going to do what we do. People would ask him, well, how are you going to adjust your defense to put up with this high-powered profile quarterback? And what are you going to do to adjust your offense to score more points? And he said, we're just going to do what we do. And he says it repeatedly in the book several times to the point where you can't miss it. We just do what we do to the very best of our ability, and we expect the results to pay off in time. The investment of just do what we do. Don't change who we are. Just do what we do. So he meant by that, we shouldn't change who we are or how we do things. We should just do what we're good at. Believe that hard work will pay off in time. I think that's a great principle. What's your job? What are you assigned to do? What's the Holy Spirit giving you to do? Then just do what you do to the very... Don't try to reimagine yourself, re-identify yourself, relabel yourself. If you're a servant, if it's ministry, just go serve. Just go find something that needs to be done and just do it. And then God will be able to use you and you'll be honored in your service. if you just use your gifting the way God has designed you to serve. If serving is your gift, it really is a way that you can honor God. And in the meantime, you ought to be motivated by a couple things I want to share with you now. You need to remember and be motivated that your master, motivated by the fact your master was a servant. This isn't new to you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, 45, even the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister. Same word, to give his life a ransom for many. And it isn't just verbiage for Jesus, right? It isn't just what he said, you know, I'm a servant, go serve. I mean, he really demonstrated this. In John chapter 13, it's the night before he's to be crucified. Already the agony of the cross is heavy on his mind. He knows what he's going to do to give his life and sacrifice for the whole world so that we might be redeemed. Our sins paid on the cross, his resurrected life giving us hope of eternal life forever. He was going to do this. And once you get down, while his disciples are jockeying for who should have the best seat at the table, he gets down, girds himself with a towel, takes a bowl, and he washes every one of the disciples' feet, even after Peter protested, and Peter finally conceded, and he washed every disciple's feet. That's the job of a servant. He demonstrated it, and then he said this in John chapter 13, "You call me Master and Lord, that's what I am. For so I am." Verse 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." We tend to be big on names and accolades and positions and what this person has accomplished. Jesus doesn't parade his self-importance on the night before the crucifixion. He stoops down to serve. And I am most like Jesus when I serve. I'm most like Jesus when I serve and I'm not recognized. I'm most like Jesus when I serve and it doesn't matter if anybody else ever notices or says anything about what I do. I'm most like him when I get down and serve the needs of other people around me. Serving is not small then. It's standing tall next to Jesus. Here's another motivating factor that should cause us to respect servants. Our master was a servant, and secondly, my ministry is empowered by God's Spirit. To think God would use me as I serve, through me, accomplish his work. And this is exactly what the Bible seems to indicate. This is a complementary passage again to Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but it says the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. That's the same word ministry, incidentally, in our text that we've been talking about. The same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God. Did you see that? We have the Trinity right there. Did you see that? Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. And what? Why is that all that important? Because it's the same God which is working all in all. The word work there is the word from which we get our word energize, energo. Energize. God, by his Spirit, by the Lord, by God, is energizing all that's being done for the benefit of all in the church. Energy from the Lord to accomplish his work so that you do his work and accomplish a lot more than you ever thought. You thought you were just bringing a cup of coffee over to a dear sister in the church, but you were being empowered by God's Spirit to do that. You thought all you were doing was washing up or cleaning up some mess that was left by another person in the bathroom, but you were doing it empowered by the Lord. You thought all you were doing was picking up a little lady and taking her through a therapy appointment this week, but you were doing it for the Lord, and he was working through you. And this is the neat thing about our service that Paul wants to get across to us. Your work is being empowered by his Spirit. I brought a glove with me this morning. I just grabbed one quickly at the house, and you can see that a glove is pretty wimpy. It does not have much strength to do anything by itself. But as soon as I insert my hand, it is animated to accomplish its purpose and get something done that needs to be done. And so it is. I'm not anything. I'm pretty wimpy by myself. But when the Spirit of God inserts Himself into me, then my hands become His hands to accomplish His work in the church. And this is what Paul is after. What a privilege to stand tall next to the Lord and be empowered by the Spirit to do something that really is beyond what I think I'm capable of doing. I'm about through. But let me wrap this up by a couple of key points. One is, are there going to be times when you're tired, weary, stressed, want to quit? Absolutely. I'm speaking from my own experience. But with the power of God inserted into me, I can serve longer and stronger and better than I thought possible. Others might even come up to me, not always, but others might come up to me and say, how could you put up with that so long? And my only answer is, I have no idea. God must have just helped me be able to do that. He did His work through me. So I want to honor some real heroes. In Paul's list of spiritual gifts, right after the preachers, the prophets, come the servants, and how necessary they are to the function of this church. If you have a forte for that, if that's your passion, I'm going to say with Paul, if ministry or service is your thing, go minister. Go find a place to serve and keep doing that, because God has gifted you and enabled you. Or to put it back in the words of Tony Dungy that I mentioned a moment ago, just do what you do, because the rest of the church is depending on you. A man walked into a children's hospital in Omaha, Nebraska. He was visiting a family in his church. A child was in the hospital. And as he was going through the halls, he noticed a little boy, an infant, a toddler rather, in a bed with all these kinds of tubes and wires and everything hooked up to the kid. And he paused for a moment and asked the lady, the nurse, one of the nurses at the nurse's station, he asked about the boy and why all those tubes were going in and out of his body. And the nurse said, I want to thank you for asking about him. He's likely going to die before he's 2 years of age. But the worst part is that his mother died in childbirth and his father's in prison. Nobody comes. Nobody asks about him. And he lays there. In fact, you're one of the only people that have asked about him. Heavy with that on his mind, he turned, the man did, to walk out of the hospital. And as he's walking out of the hospital, he's talking to God, thank you, God, for my two sons, and thank you that they're not like that boy over there, that boy, that baby laying there in the bed, and thank you that my kids are all healthy. And then it seemed, as almost out of thin air, and some of you who've walked with God understand this, God spoke to him and said, yeah, that is your baby. And a servant gets that, right? A servant sees the problems that other people walk by and owns them. And being a servant, you're the one that tends to see the things that got neglected today. Well, that wasn't right. He didn't do that right. Somebody missed that. That was a big error. Do you see those typos on the screen? Boy, they'd never write any. Yeah. As a servant, you see those kinds of things. But when you see them, you don't say, that's somebody else's baby. You say, that's my baby. I'm going to do something about it. So if service is your gift, don't wait for an invitation. Stand up. Go do something. Go serve. May God help us. Shall we pause for prayer?